has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes. With June Whitfield, Al McCogan, Wally Eaton, and Keno, all inviting you to...
Now, look here, Bentley, for the umpteenth time, I didn't dream it. There's somebody following me. Been behind me all day.
And I tell you, Jim, there is nobody behind you. It's just the way your trousers are cut.
Bentley, you know, it's getting me down. A stranger dogging me the whole time. What can be his motive?
Well, if there is such a chap, it could be blackmail.
Blackmail?
Oh, it's quite a common racket. Some petty crook follows a well-known personality around on the chance he'd spot him doing something the public shouldn't know about.
Yes.
Then this crook demands a fiver, or else he'll tell everybody he saw me slip my vest into the next lady's laundrette.
Well, he'd better not try that on me. I've done nothing all day which is in any way shameful. My conscience is as clear as... Bentley.
What?
That's him. Oh. He's coming over here.
Mr. Edwards?
Now, look here, my good fellow. I'm not going to haggle with you. Here's £12.10. And that covers last night as well.
I don't understand, sir. Sir, I beg leave to introduce myself. Sir, Sergeant Manders, Royal Artillery.
Well, what the dickens have you been following Jimmy around for?
Yes. Well, sir, the reason, sir, is that Battalion Commander HQ Corps has selected me as possible officer material.
Officer material, eh? How times change. In my service days, officer material was our name for a blonde waff.
As you say, sir?
Yes.
Well, sir, all personnel promulgated as officer material are detailed for what we call initiative tests.
Initiative tests?
Yes, sir. My task is to obtain and to bring back a clipping of Mr. Edwards' moustache.
What? Delilah Jim for an Army Council whim?
Well, that is my task, sir. Now, Mr. Edwards, if you will kindly incline your features to 3 o'clock.
Oh, no, Sergeant. You can just put that bayonet away.
You want to have a clipping, sir?
Nuts on your military Nelly.
Oh. Well, that's a bit of a blow, sir. Not so much for my sake, sir, but, well, for the sake of poor old Whitey.
Poor old Whitey?
He's in hospital, sir.
Oh,
very sick, I'm afraid. If I brought him back the clipping from Miss Ledward's moustache, it might make all the difference.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a bit different. I mean, if you should have said
yes, that. Who is poor old Whitey? Your messmate?
No, sir. He's the regimental goat.
Goat?
Yes, sir. Got his beard cut off in the nappy door. So the CO thought if I could stick a top to summon on the chin of the
what?
Same colour and texture...
What? Give me that bayonet!
Oh, no, sir. Please,
give me one of those.
Thank you, Keynote. So to the Glums. Well, Ron and Eph have finally decided. Tonight they are going to elope. A foolproof plan has been worked out, and as Ron and Eph discuss it, we take you over to the Glums.
Kippers.
No, no, you and me, dearest heart. Oh, at last, beloved, we're actually on the threshold of our happiness. Oh, now, Ron, just let's rehearse the procedure.
Right, are we? Go on, just a kiss.
Oh, no, well, you can tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I meant the eloping procedure. Well, now, we should go over the details once more.
All right, eh?
Now, first me. I go to bed at 10 as normal, but I lie awake and wait till Mum's snoring settles to a steady note. Then I dress silently, put all my necessaries into my suitcase, and wait quietly by the window. All right so far, Ron?
Yes, thank you.
Right. Now, Ron, what happens at 2:15 in the morning tonight?
Yes.
Well, at 2:15 precisely, Ron, you and Mr. Glum arrive with a ladder and a pebble. And what do you do?
I lean the pebble against the wall and throw the ladder at your window.
No, the other way round, Ron.
Ah, I turn the ladder the other way round and throw it at your...
Oh, Ron! Oh, dear. Thank goodness Mr. Glum will be with you tonight.
Yes, Eph. Oh, Eph. I'm getting a bit excited now.
No, you must stay calm, Ron. Mm. We're working to split-second timing. Now, remember, Ron, 2:15 precisely.
Come on, Ron. We're an hour and a quarter late already. Ron, don't lean against that lamppost. Get a move on. You're on your way to your wedding. Oh, Lummy, he's gone to sleep again. Poor lad, he's never been up this late before. Ron, wake up.
Dad.
Come on, wake up, come on, wake up. What's the matter with you? It's gone 3. Your S has been waiting over an hour.
It's not my fault, Dad.
It is your fault. If you hadn't lent that ladder against that trolley bus... we wouldn't have had to run all the way to the depot to get it back. Now, come on. We'll have to break into a trot.
I can't trot, Dad. I'm carrying too much.
Well, whose fault is that? You would insist on bringing your bagatelle board, wouldn't you? You won't be told, will you? What you need with a bagatelle board on your hand... Oh, I don't know, though. Here. And I wish I knew where your mother's got to. We'll be sunk if she don't turn up.
What's she carrying?
A motorbike. Couldn't ride it because of the noise. Tin half dark, innit? Wait a minute. I think we're here. Yes, this is it. Number 23. Can you see Eth at the window, Ron? Ron, wake up, you dozy apron. Now, lean the ladder against the window. Careful now. Easy does it. Now, the pebble.
I haven't got it.
Hey?
I left it on the mantelpiece. Oh, Dad, we can't elope.
Well, there's a fine thing.
Let's go back to bed.
Ron, look, we're on a gravel path. The place is smothered in pebbles. Hey, look, here's one here. Now, stand back. I'll throw it up. Up! There you are, dead center. Now, go on, Ron, go on. Up the ladder you go.
Righto, Dad, it won't be long.
half a parky night for this sort of lark.
You up there, Rob?
No, Dad. I can't go any further. I've gone dizzy.
John Dizzy, you're only on the first rung. Step off and let me go up there.
Stand by it. Hard glum on the way up. Here we are. F. F. Rum.
Yes, Dad?
I can't see her. I'll climb inside and scout round.
Righto, Dad. Horse and carriage. Horse and carriage. Dad. Dad. Come down. It's dark.
Ron, Ron.
Dad, something's saying run, run.
Ron, it's me.
Yeah.
Oh, Ron, this is the wrong house.
What?
This is 23 Abercle Crescent, not Road. Oh, Ron, I waited and waited, and then I came out and walked round the streets looking for you.
You mean that room that Dad's gone into isn't yours?
It isn't. This house is where that awful Renee Wilson from the Coach and Horses lives. That's her lounge.
Oh, dear. Dad, come down quickly.
Not likely.
Star, you'll find a dreamer dreaming just the way you do. If you think you are the only dreamer, look and you'll see quite a few. But it only stands to reason the stars can't hear a prayer, or there wouldn't be so many people dreaming everywhere. Looking up at all the stars, you wonder, don't they ever get behind? Summer, winter, fall, they're just snowed under, keeping everyone in line. But it might be just this season, they'll get around to you. So fix yourself a star, and may your dreams come true. Looking up at all the stars, you wonder, don't they ever get behind? Summer, winter, fall, they're just snowed under, keeping everyone in line. But it might be just this season, they'll get around to you. So pick yourself a star, and may your dreams come true.
Three more brandies and soda, please. Say, Edwards, do you know anything about schools?
Schools, your grace? I was at one time a school teacher. In fact, my moustache was known throughout scholastic circles as the Blackboard Jungle. Oh. Of course, you know, your grace, the school nowadays is Marple Hall.
Marple Hall? No, I never heard of it.
So many things you haven't heard of.
No.
All the best people send their children there now. Mind you, it wasn't always so successful. Oh. There was a time when... But no, I run ahead of myself. I'll call myself back and start from the beginning.
This is Marple Hall, a private boarding school for the sons of gentlefolk. Its headmaster is Professor James, a scholar who has devoted his whole life to teaching. And at this moment, he is engaged in that part of his work which he loves best.
All right, boy, bend over.
Six of the best, I think we said, didn't we?
But, sir...
Silence, boy. Try and take your punishment like a man. Now then, over that chair. Quite still. One. Oh. 2, 3, 4. Five. And the last one, backhand. Oh. Ah, didn't take long, did it, sir? Now, come along, no blubbing. That's not the way I like to see a boy behave.
But I keep telling you, I'm not a boy. I'm the classics master.
Oh, my dear fellow, a thousand apologies. I must get myself a new pair of glasses. I broke my other pair while I was correcting a French piece. Yes. They're very high-spirited, you know. Yes, of course, let me look at them. My word, of course, you're a teacher. Titmarsh, isn't it?
Yes, sir. A senior classics master, assistant mathematics teacher, physics and botany instructor, music tutor, emergency model for the drawing class, and left-hand goalpost at ragamuffin.
You're a hard worker, Titmarsh.
Thank you.
That's why I sent for you first. Do you happen to know where the rest of my teaching staff is?
Yes, headmaster. She's outside.
Outside? Miss Gutteridge?
You called, headmaster?
That was indeed me calling, Miss Gutteridge. Shouldn't you be taking the older boys in nature study?
Never again, headmaster.
Oh, well.
The way they behave, nature might well study them.
Well, now that you're here, you may as well learn the bad news. Mm-hmm. The finances of the school are in desperate straits. Unless the position improves, Marple Hall School will have to close its doors.
You mean go back to being a slaughterhouse? Oh, I can't believe it, headmaster. What about those investments you made? Did nothing come forth?
They all came forth. Not one of them was even placed.
What we must do, headmaster, is find a way to attract more pupils to the school. And I think I know that way. Headmaster, have I your permission to call somebody in London?
Why, certainly. I'll open the window.
I'd prefer to use the telephone if I may. Thank you. Hello. Could you get me the BBC, please? What? It's in Portland Place. I think you ring the Espresso Cafe next door and ask somebody to run and call. Yes, yeah, I'll hang on.
What are you up to, Titmarsh?
You'll see. Hello? BBC? Could you put me through to the Controller of Educational Broadcasting, please? Thank you. Hello. That you, Butch? Inky Titmarsh here. Listen, you know you've got a program called Top of the Form, a quiz program between teams from various first-class schools. What? Well, you have. Listen, Butch, will you please let my school, Marple Hall, be one of the teams? You will? Bless you, Butch. Jolly decent of you. Still playing Raga? Grand. Bye-bye then, Butch. There. What a nice woman she is.
Titmarsh, have you gone stark raving bonkers? How will it help us to have a Marple Hall team on Top of the Form?
Well, don't you see? If our team wins, beats all the other schools in the country, there's not a parent who won't want to send his son here.
What sort of question will our sixth formers be expected to answer in this quiz?
Oh, you know the sort of thing. What was the date of the Battle of Hastings? What's the capital of France? What is 5 times 3?
Well, it was a good idea while it lasted.
What do you mean?
Well, our sixth formers aren't up to that standard. What was the date of the Battle of Hastings? Half of them don't even know who Hastings was. And as for 5 times 3...
Just a minute, headmaster. I've got the answer.
What?
15.
Eh?
You know, 5 times 3. Yes. Well, you see, I've been quietly working on it here by myself.
I wondered why you had your socks off. So that's what it is it?
Yes.
15.
15, yes.
Jolly good, Titmarsh. It's a pity you couldn't be one of the team.
That's it.
What?
Oh, that's what we'll do. Oh, look. If I scrape back all my hair like this, well, if Titmarsh and I were to put on Eton suits and school caps...
Yes, then... you could enter us as the Marple Hall team.
Why, Jingo, you hit it. Bully for you, gutters and titters.
And our first guests in town tonight are the amazing Marple Hall schoolboys. This team has won every heat so far in the Top of the Form quiz. And tomorrow night, they'll be battling it out in the All Britain Finals. Here, full of confidence, is the headmaster, Dr. James.
And good evening. These two youngsters sitting beside me are my Marple House team.
They are a remarkable-looking pair, I must say. In fact, confidentially, Professor, that one there
Well, he doesn't look like a boy at all, does he? He looks exactly like a middle-aged lady.
I resent that. I am a boy. So is my chum here. Aren't you, Frieda? Freddy.
Of course I am.
Of course he is. Put that lipstick back in your handbag, you silly old faggot.
Still, Marple Hall has been astonishingly successful in the broadcast so far. Tell me, boys, how did you find the questions?
Oh, well, we just looked in John Ellison's briefcase and there they were.
Both these boys owe their success to the Marple Hall brand of education. Remember, listeners, your child, too, can get off to a good start at Marple Hall.
Professor, that's advertising.
You can't.
Ask any parent. For brighter, keener children, Marple Hall beats them all.
And so we come to the last two questions of this final top of the form. With the score standing, Kilgrenick School for Girls, 38, Marple Hall School for Boys, 1.25. I am afraid that after an impressive start in the geography round, the Marple Hall team rather fell down on its botany. So, to ask Kilgrenick the last questions, it's over to John Ellison in Marple Hall.
Thank you, Robert McDonough up in Kilgrenick. Well, I think the score should even up a bit now.
Here, just a minute. You're not John Ellison.
No, I'm Marple Hall's headmaster. I regret to tell you John Ellison has just keeled over and fallen to the floor unconscious.
Oh, well, you'd better take over the questioning, sir.
That was my intention. First, let me get rid of this iron bar. Now, Kilgrenock, who's turn to the next question?
I, sir. Jean Campbell.
Oh, yes, little Miss Know-it-all. Now, pin back your pigtails, Haggis. I'm only giving you 30 seconds to answer this one. 30 seconds starting from now. Ooh. Wrote. My pilgrims. My progress.
Oh, please, sir.
Just a minute. If you give me the full name, you get 4 marks. If you will only think of the surname, you only get 1 mark. That's fair, isn't it?
Oh, aye, sir. Please, sir.
Just a minute. I think I better just repeat the question for you so that you know exactly what the question is. I'll repeat the question. Now, who? My wrote. Pilgrims. My progress.
Please, sir,
I'm sorry, Jean. No marks. There we are. You had a full 30 seconds, my dear. Question from you now, McDonough, up in Kilgrenock.
And it's for Richard Titmarsh. Richard, can you give me the names of the Stuart King?
Now, come on, Richard. He's asking you, can you give him the names of the Stuart King?
Oh, I know the answer to that question. The answer to that is, no, I can't.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct.
I say. No, it isn't correct.
Oh, yes, it is correct. He couldn't give you the names of the Stuart King to save his life. So he gets the full 4 marks. And as that's the end of the questions, I'll now ask the producer, Miss Joan Clark, who's sitting beside me, to give us the final score.
Well, the winner by a very large margin is without doubt the Kilgrenick. Ouch! Oh!
Miss Clark, what's happened to Miss Clark?
I'm afraid she's suddenly gone down with a touch of ebony ruler. But as she was about to say, Marple Hall wins. So don't forget, listeners, for brighter, keener children.
Don't delay.
Enroll today.
Hurrah for Marple Hall.
And you're going to listen to your augmented BBC review orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Benton and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by June Whitfield, Elmer Cogan, Wallace Eaton, and the keynotes. David Dunhill was the announcer, Frank Miller and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...